Okay, everybody, so let's continue. Let's discuss for a few minutes. Okay, let's discuss for a few minutes. Oh, it's already 12 o'clock, come on. Okay, we only have 5 minutes left. I didn't realize how late it is. Let me just give you an introduction to a topic that I want to discuss about a lot more tomorrow and maybe the next day. The topic of the Aseres HaShvatim. This week's parasha, we learn about the Meraglim. The Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, they were not given, the Meraglim and the Dor HaMidbar were not given the Zuchus to enter into Eretz Yisrael. As an extension of the Meraglim, even the people who did go into Eretz Yisrael, Chazal say that the Aseres HaShvatim committed a similar Avera. They also lacked an appreciation for Eretz Yisrael, their psukim, which support this idea, which we'll have to go through in more detail tomorrow. And because of that, there was another, the fact that the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled and did not return, this is a big, and there's a big question, will they return, relates to the lack of chavivus for Eretz Yisrael. So it's a very the story of the Meraglim is a very dangerous story because it's something which is still very relevant. That's the Meraglim, being that they did not appreciate the land and they spoke Lashon Hara and the people believed it, they were denied access into the land. The people who actually did enter the land and were part of Klal Yisrael, Rachman Litzlan, because there was on their part a lack of appreciation for what they had, were also expelled from the land to the degree where, according to some opinions in the Gemara, they will never return. So the story of the Meraglim is not just a story of the past. It's a frightening warning not to lose our sense of appreciation and chavivus for Eretz Yisrael. If you don't appreciate it, then Hashem has no need to give it to us. Hashem has other people, other members of Klal Yisrael that will be happy to have the land. And this is so true today. There's a very, very big problem today that's been written up in all of the magazines, the entire spectrum of Judaism, is that today there's a lack. We don't have that same chavivus. We don't find in America, American Jews, we don't find them having the same chavivus for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a nice place to visit. It's a nice place to visit. You go on a plane, you go for sukkahs, for this, for that. But the chavivus, the critical nature that this is where you belong, this is where you must be, it's not what it used to be. And that is a very disturbing reality, because the Meraglim, unfortunately, did not appreciate Eretz Yisrael, and because of that sin, they were denied entry. And the Aseres HaShvatim, who also did not appreciate the land, not only they were expelled, to the point, to the degree where they were not allowed to come back. Okay, that is one topic which we have to discuss. Another, just an outline of some of the important issues which we'll go over in more detail. Another very important outline about the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim went into exile in three different stages. This theme of three elements of Golus, the Aseres HaShvatim, reappears and echoes over and over again in every single element of the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. Now, as far as time-wise, Sancheriv, he exiled the first wave. Sukkim described the first wave of exiles. Those were mainly the people on the other side of the Yarden. Ruvain, Gad, Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe. 8 years later was a second wave of exiles. Those were mainly the people along the Mediterranean, along the Yam. And the third wave were the people that were centrally located in Eretz Yisrael. That took place during the time of Hoshea. That took place 3 years later. There were three separate waves of exile. Now, to parallel that, where did these people end up? So it seems pretty clear that each group that went into exile was sent to a different location in the world. And that is why today, when you hear so much talk that who are these people? Some try to claim, you've heard what I've heard. We've all heard the same thing. Some people will tell you shocking, crazy things. The Taliban are from the Aseret HaShvatim. You ever hear that before? Some will tell the Kurds are from the Aseret HaShvatim. Some will tell you that the B'nai Moshe in Ethiopia are from the Aseret HaShvatim. Some will tell you that there are certain tribes in Afghanistan and Pakistan, certain, not the Taliban, other certain tribes that are not exactly Muslims. They're like cousins of the Muslims. They're from the Aseret HaShvatim. Some will tell you that the people in China, Japan. We've heard this over the years, and it's all very bizarre. And, you know, everything has a kernel of truth because they prove it. They have these very interesting minhagim. Where did these minhagim come from? How do they know these things? There's some element of truth that's very disturbing. Halacha l'maisa, when these people come, the law of return makes it very complicated because if these are really Jews, then the state of Israel has committed itself to allow them to live in the country with no hiccups. So if these people can prove that they are indeed Jews, then they have a right to come and live in the land. They're citizens of the state. So what happens if the Taliban wakes up one day and they says, we're Jews, we want to come to the state of Israel? It's not so simple. What do you mean? What are you talking about? But one thing makes it very interesting, and that is, there were three separate waves of exiles. Each wave was deposited by Sanherib in a different region. Unfortunately, many of us make a mistake and think that the Aseret HaShvatim all went together to one place. That's not true. The Aseret HaShvatim were exiled three separate times in three different groups. Each group was unique. Each Shevet had a unique character. Not like today. Today we live in a global melting pot. Jews today, pretty much Orthodox Jews today, more than ever, are all the same. When I was a child, you saw a Yemenite. Oh, a Yemenite. Whoo! What is a Yemenite? A Yemenite Jew is like a different world, a different language. Everything is different. Today, some of my best friends are Yemenites. Okay? Years ago when I was a child, Persians. Today, we live in the global melting pot. A Jew is a Jew, an Orthodox Jew is an Orthodox Jew. It doesn't make a difference. It's all the same. What, you have a different Nusach? You daven a little different? Your Havara is a little different? Big deal. You live in America. You grew up in America. We all have the same experiences. We're all together, pretty much. Just because you daven in Nishul and Natural, so guess what? I go into your shul also. I've been in many Sfarish shuls. Very nice. I have no problem being there. And I've seen many of the Sfaradim come into the shuls that I daven in. And they know the Nusach. They daven for the Yamin also. Big deal. We live in the global melting pot here in America, and even more so in Eretz Yisrael. So today, it's all really the same. You can't tell me it's not the same. But at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was not like that. It's clear as day. Each Shevet had such a distinct flavor to his Yiddishkeit. It was like a different religion. It was almost a different religion. And when we learn that the Aseret HaShvatim were exiled in three different stages, and each stage there were different groups of Shvatim, it's not so far-fetched that there's truth to all of these theories. There are Jews that are in China. There are Jews that are in Pakistan. There are Jews that are in Australia. There are Jews in Ethiopia. What do you mean? If the scholars of the Aseret HaShvatim, you have go as a group. Don't tell me they were exiled to Ashur and from there they just dispersed and assimilated. It can't be that they would maintain such a distinct group. That's right. If they all went into exile in one shot, in one moment, and then they just slowly spread out, you're right. Then it would not be likely that they can maintain their identity in different parts of the world. But we know that's not the way it happened. We know they went into exile in three different stages. And each stage, they stuck together. And by sticking together and being that they were so unique and so different, it's very interesting. It's not so far-fetched that, indeed, there are different groups all over the world. So this is Ephesians 1. This comes up with a lot of different parallels to show you. Now, there's another very big topic about the Aseres Hashvat, and that comes from what's called Eldad Hadoni. Eldad Hadoni was an explorer. He was an explorer, and he lived during the time of the Geonim, which was a little bit more than 1,000 years ago. And he went on an expedition out, who knows where, somewhere in Persia, I don't know. And supposedly he came in contact with the Aseres Hashvat. And he had a long conversation with them, and he brought back his report to the Geonim of Eretz Yisrael. The Geonim in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, he brought back a report of who he met. And his report is very detailed, and the Geonim of the time, they gave him a haskama that indeed, living out there somewhere beyond, in some mysterious place at that time, were indeed the 10 lost tribes, or some of them at least. Question is, it's been 1,000 years since Eldad Hamedani, this explorer who went on his expedition and came across the Aseres Hashvatim and came back and told this over to the world. What happened to the Aseres Hashvatim since then, since 1,000 years ago? Where are they? Where are they? Was Eldad Hadoni saying the truth? And if he was saying the truth, where are they today? They disappeared? You're going to tell me this? They have some technology which hides themselves from the radar screen? Very unlikely. That is another major topic in halacha. And then comes a very controversial topic we'll stop with, is that what happens, this is a very fascinating halacha for goy. Let's say a non-Jew marries a Jew. Does he need a get? So you'll say, of course not, ridiculous. A goy marries a Jew, of course you'll need a get. Not so simple. There are poskim that say in the things of Tosfos, if I'm not mistaken, that if a goy says to a woman, Harat Mikudeshes, he needs a get. Where Chayish, he may be from the Aseres Hashvatim. Halacha l'maisa, we don't paskin like this. Halacha l'maisa, for a person who we assume to be a non-Jew marries a Jew, he does not need a get. We assume he's a goy. And adarabba, this is where it comes to, this is where really the controversy goes. The Beis Din of the time of the Tosfos, they were goyzer on Jews who assimilated and became like goyim to mamish have the status of a goy. Ad kedei kach, they don't even need, I don't know how this works. They were oiker, the kedushin l'mafreya, they don't even need a get. And if that, if you take that principle to its fullest degree, it has major ramifications on the Baalei Teshuva movement. Is there an inyan today, Abayisai, to go out into the Hicks, to go out into Texas, or go out into some suburb of Wisconsin and check into the yichus of a person who looks like a guy, sounds like a guy, behaves like a guy, and everything about, and says he's a guy. He looks, behaves like a guy. But when you check his yichus, you discover that he is an einikol of Rashi. He's an einikol of one of the Baalei Tosfos. What is he? Is he Jewish or is he not Jewish? So Chabad will tell you, oh, it's a big fish. We caught a big fish here. He's an einikol of Rashi, you know. That's it. He's one of us, and they'll take him, and they'll make him into something. According to many poskim, no. Once a Jew is nitma, he is totally, totally absorbed into a non-Jewish society. He's a goy. That's not a Jew anymore. That is not a Jew. If you make him into a Jew, he's a ger. And we don't solicit gerim in Klal Yisrael. So there's no need and no purpose in going out and looking for Jews who may be miyuchasim and make them in and restore them. There's a principle. We don't look to make Geirim in Klal Yisrael. If Jews have sunk to a level where they're completely absorbed into society, they have the status of non-Jews. That's it, it's over. There's nothing more to do. Oh, but what about the Tosfos that says that if a goy marries a Jew, he needs a get because he might be a Jew. He may be from the Aseres HaShvatim. We don't paskin like that. Not only do we not paskin like that, we will goyz on these type of Jews that we give them the full status of being non-Jews. Okay, this needs to be continued. There's a lot to discuss about this topic. And Mitzvah will pick it up tomorrow.
Does he have to go to the mikveh? If you check the Mitzvah's his grandmother, for generations, and he like acted like a guy. Does he have to go to? Does he have to be Megaya, or you just need to go to the tefillah?
What about a bris? Don't forget a bris.
Luchari needs to be Megaya. That's the topic of discussion.
No, that's the way to keep him out. If you tell him you got to get a bris, that'll scare them off.
What happened to you, May? You first come now when it's over? Okay, we're gonna.
I ran from the doctor.
Woke up.
Right back in time.
Okay, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here, boys. I meet you tomorrow. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Be well. All the best to all of you. Take care. Have a good day. Yes.
You want to share about those Rashi tapers, Drachma?
Yeah.
Rabbeinu
Gershon Mor Hagolah. Thank you very, very much. Okay, great. Okay, great. Pigman Ragma. What was Rashi tapers again? Pirates gather yishachenu nachash. Pei gimel pirates gather pigyon. Pirates gather yishachenu nachash. Rabbeinu Gershon Maor Hagadol. Chayrim Rabbeinu Gershon to read what's inside somebody's letter. And just because the person himself threw the letter in the garbage does not mean that you have a right to read the letter. The one who wrote the letter, he wants it to be private. You don't know that he's meichel on this information. Okay, and it never expires. We learned that from Binyamin Yafes. Binyamin Ben Yafes, we learned that in Yisoid, not like America, where it expires, it never expires. It's a very interesting principle to compare Chazal to secular society, especially today in America. Okay, now, boys, have a wonderful day. Be well. See you tomorrow,
Mr. Shem. Tonight?
Tonight, yes, tonight. Tonight, 7:15, Mr. Shem, 7:15. Yes. Thank you for reminding me, yes.
Zagizin.
Be well.
Good day. Bye-bye.
Good day.